Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 27 lines from the top of Daf Mem Vav. Well, that might be a little difficult to find, so just estimate halfway down the Gemara page, a line or two beneath the beginning of Tosfos Dibur Masel Nichnas. We are continuing with the topic of the brachas recited over the lulav and the sukkah. How frequently do we make these brachas, etc. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. You notice we've underlined Shmuel, and the next line we've underlined Rav Shua ben Levi. So Rav Yehuda, quoting Shmuel, says, Mitzvahs lulav kol shiva. The mitzvah of lulav is 7 days. Now, he's saying this in the context of the making of the brocha, that one shall make a brocha every day and not just the first day. This, of course, is a throwback to that which we saw in our previous sukkah. In fact, at the lower part of Mem Hei Omid Beis, we saw Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel, just like you see over here, Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel, saying that lulav is shiva, that you do make a bracha on the lulav every day. Rav Yeshua ben Levi Omar Yom Rishon Mitzvahs Lulav. The first day is the day of Mitzvahs Lulav, is the day of the commandment of doing the lulav. Mikan ve'elech Mitzvahs Zekenim. From the second day on, it's a rabbinic requirement. And Rashi adds over here, and since it's rabbinic, it does not require a bracha. Now, when we say it's rabbinic, Rashi also points out this is based on the takona of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that instituted the taking of lulav every day, zecher lemikdash, to commemorate the mitzvah as it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, where there, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing and the lulav was taken there, it was a 7-day Torah-level mitzvah. Rav Yitzchok Omar, Kol Yoimo Mitzvahs Zekenim. Rav Yitzchok says, every day is rabbinic. The Gemara asks, Vafilu Yom Rishon, even the first day of Sukkot, V'ho Kaimolon, the Yom Rishon Deraisa, we hold that the first day is Torah required. Gemara says, you're right, Emo Bar Miyom Rishon. What Rav Yitzchok says, that every day is a rabbinic requirement, with the exception of the first day. Gemara asks, Ihochi Hainu de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, then what Rav Yitzchok is saying is the same thing as what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Gemara says, you're right, Emo V'chein Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. You should therefore state it as thusly, and similarly, Rav Yitzchok says, similar to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now, we go on in the same topic. However, we have some markings that will be useful as the sugya unfolds. Under the mivneh, a structure note, we have the house shape is shnei lishonos berav. There are two versions in how to present rav, the mevorchim al lulav kol shiva, that we will make a bracha on lulav every day. And even though it's beyond after the first day, it's only rabbinic, nevertheless, Rav is of the opinion that you will make a bracha for those kind of mitzvahs that are rabbinic in origin. We mentioned that there are two lishonos. Those are highlighted with the Roman numerals 1 and 2. The difference between these two lishonos is that in the first presentation, Rav doesn't address the mitzvah of lulav directly, but rather he discusses the lighting of Hanukkah candles, which is purely rabbinic in nature, and yet Rav tells you that you make a bracha over lighting of Hanukkah candles. And the Gemara gets into some detail regarding who makes which brachas when regarding Hanukkah candles. But we, according to the first version, the Roman numeral number one presentation, it's a function of comparing or extrapolating from that which Rav says by Hanukkah candles. We can see he will say the same thing regarding the lulav throughout the holiday of Sukkot, which is also rabbinic. The second version, the Roman numeral number two version, has Rav saying this din explicitly regarding lulav, not leaving it up to us to extrapolate from Hanukkah candles to the mitzvah of lulav. So now the Gemara. V'af Rav sovar kol shiva mitzvas lulav. Rav holds, like Shmuel, that lulav warrants a bracha each day, each one of the 7 days. Even though it is rabbinic from the second day on, you make brachas on rabbinic mitzvahs. The Omar Reb Chiya bar Ashi, Omar Rav, Hamadlik ner shel Chanukah, tzorech levorech. And we add likewise with, and we're adding, same thing with regard to the lulav. Now we have some bracket working here, and the purpose of these brackets, we have a note on the side. So graim elu v'haboy machreim, these brackets and the next ones are miyodim ledilug, it's for skipping purposes. Kidei litzor retzef bakriya beinyan hamadlik ner Chanukah. This skipping will enable us to maintain a smooth, continuous reading regarding the one who lights Hanukkah candles. You will see in the course of the Gemara there are other points that are inserted, which we'll get back to when we reread the Gemara. But in the meantime, for the sake of simplicity, we read with the skipping. So Rav says that the one who lights Hanukkah sorch levorech, my mevorech. Notice we're skipping again to the first wide line in the middle. The question was asked, what bracha is made? Answer, Baruch Asher Kitshonu B'mitzvot Tzivonu Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. And when the Gemara quotes brachas, it usually quotes it in a concise fashion. So really the bracha is, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kitshonu B'mitzvot Tzivonu Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. After that, the Gemara asks, well, how can you say Vitzivonu means, and blessed be the Almighty that sanctified us with his mitzvahs and commanded us, but he didn't, the Almighty didn't command us. How can the word Vitzivonu means, and he commanded us, he the Almighty? So the Gemara will ask, Vehechon Tzivonu, on the second wide line in the middle, where did he command us? It's a rabbinic teaching, it's not in the Torah. So the Gemara will explain what the basis for that word in a rabbinic mitzvah, what its basis is. We'll get back to that later. First, we go back over the Gemara now with the brackets. Rav says that one who is lights Chanukah's tzorech levorech. Rabbi Yirmi Omar haroye ner shel Chanukah tzorech levorech. One who sees the Hanukkah candles, and Rashi explains we're talking about someone who has not lit his own Hanukkah candles. Rashi says Haroi Ner Chanukah. Rashi is more than halfway down. He says Koi Al Shelo Hidlik Beveso. He hasn't lit in his house. The Oyver Bishus Harabim. He's walking in the public thoroughfare. Haroya Oisu Pischa Yisrael. Shemitzvah Nirch Pesach Soch Levorach Al Riyo Rishona. So Rav Yirmiya points out that one who sees, one who didn't yet light his own Chanukah candles, and he sees Chanukah candles, so there is the need for a bracha. We continue in the Gemara. My Mevorech. What is the bracha? Omar Rav Yehuda, Yom Rishon, Hamadlik Mevorech Shalosh V'Roi Mevorech Shtayim. On the first day of Hanukkah, the one who actually lights his own Hanukkah candles will make three brachas. And the three brachas are the Birchas HaMitzvah, Asher Kishon Sazon Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. There's the bracha of She'osa Nisim Lavoseinu Bayamim Bayim Azman Azeh. And since it's the first day, a bracha of Shehechiyonu, Shehechiyonu V'kimon V'yonu Lazman Hazeh. That is as far as the one who's lighting them. He's able to say, lehadlik ner shel Chanukah is his first bracha. That's a bracha involving the action of lighting. On the first day, haroya mevorach shtayim, that means that here he's not actually lighting, but he sees Chanukah candles. He makes two brachas, the she'asa nisim bracha and the she'achiyonu bracha. Mikan v'yelech, beyond the first day, ha'madlik mevorach shtayim v'roya mevorach achas. The one who's lighting will say two brachas, and the one who sees makes only the she'asa nisim bracha. The lighter, who on the second day on, he doesn't make she'achiyonu. That is only said at the beginning of the mitzvah, the first day. Umay mevorech, and so what's the text of the bracha that the one who is lighting is? What is he going to say? Baruch Hashem kidshonu b'mitzvisov tzivonu lahadlik ner Chanukah. Blessed be the Almighty who sanctified us in His commandments and commanded us. The Almighty commanded us to light Chanukah candles. V'heichon tzivonu, where did the Almighty command us? This is something that's of rabbinic origin. The Gemara answers, it's true it's of rabbinic origin, but the Almighty commanded us to listen to the rabbis. Mi loy sosur. Lo sosur kachosh yerucho. Everything as according to what all the sages command us, lo sosur. Do not deviate from their commandments or their teachings. So the Torah gives sanction for rabbinic commands. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar. Rav Nachman says there's another source, Shal Avicha V'Yagedcha. It goes on to say, Zekeinecha V'Yomru Lach, so that the Torah is appealing, the Torah, namely the Almighty, is appealing to us to seek out the words of our forebears and the words of the sages. So that is sufficient basis for justifying the word Vitzivonu in the bracha of a rabbinic commandment. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Masni lo behedya. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok teaches Rav in his requiring a bracha on the lulav every day of Sukkot explicitly regarding the lulav, and not like we saw in Roman numeral number 1 where we were to derive Rav's opinion regarding lulav from what Rav said regarding the Chanukah candles. So this version, Masni lo behedya, means he teaches it explicitly. Omar Rav kol shiva mitzvahs lulav. Each one of the 7 days of Sukkot, there is the mitzvah of lulav, namely, one makes a brocha over the lulav. Tanu Rabbonan. Hoise Sukkoli Atzmoy, Omer Baruch Shechianu V'chulei. This is something we saw at the upper part of the page. Nichnas Leishev Bo Baruch Asher Kitshanu V'chulei. That's Leishev Basuka. Now, here is new information. Hoysa Asuya V'oimedes. If he didn't make his sukkah, but rather he had a there was a sukkah was already there before Sukkot. Im yochol lechadesh bo davar mevorach. If he can make something new about the old sukkah that was standing there, and we'll say maybe he can rearrange the schach, add new schach, something of that nature, do something that's of a structural or sukkah significance, schach significance. So that would be reason enough for him to make the bracha at that point, Erev Sukkot. Imlav, if he can't mechadesh bodover, if he can't make something new, add to the old sukkah that was there, so then lichshikones leishev bo mevorach shtayim, when he enters the sukkah to celebrate, to observe the mitzvah during the holiday itself, the first time he enters, say, the night, as the nighttime of the 15th of Tishrei, as Sukkot sets in, then he will make the two brachas, the Shechiyonu and the Leishei Basuka. Omar Rav Ashi, Chazino Lei L'Rav Kahana, Deko Omar Lehu L'Kulhu, Al Kosu D'Kidusha. So Rav Ashi points out something that's much more familiar to us, that he says, I saw Rav Kahana, Chazino, I saw Rav Kahana, that said all of the brachas over the cup of wine, means over his Kiddush. So he would recite Kiddush, and the Leishe Basuka, and the Shechiyanu, all at that time, even though he had made his sukkah before the holiday, nevertheless he waited for the bracha recitation for the Kiddush time. Tonu Rabbanan, Hoyu Lefonov Mitzvos Harbe. Rashi gives an example, a person who is presented with a number of mitzvahs to do, and Rashi's example, you can see six lines from the bottom, Litol Lulav, Leishe Basuka, Loniach Tfilin, Lesatev Betzitzis. He would be taking the lulav, sitting in the sukkah. Interesting that Rashi mentions loniach tefillin, which is an area of a great deal of debate in halacha lamaisa. If we're assuming that Rashi is talking about one case, it's on sukkahs, and he would have all of these mitzvahs to do, so then you would have an illustration of wearing tefillin on the holiday of sukkahs, let's say on cholamoyed of sukkahs, where we know that that is an issue that's dealt with in halacha. There are different opinions. It could be that Rashi's reference to loniach tefillin is in isolation. It was loniach tefillin satim besitzes, two mitzvahs separate from the lulav and leishe basuka. Whatever the case is, you have a situation of multiple mitzvahs. The first opinion says, Omer, you say the following, Baruch Asher Kitshanu B'mitzvah V'tzivanu Al HaMitzvos, one general bracha for the multiple mitzvahs that you are encountering or presented with. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevorech Al Kol Achas V'Achas B'fnei Atzmo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, each mitzvah gets its own specifically designed bracha. As you can see, we have a triangle, one of our series markings. These series markings introduce Maimros of Rebbe Zeira. Omer Rebbe Zeira, Vitemo Rebbe Chanina Bar Popa. It should be pointed out that in each one of them, you have Rebbe Zeira quoting, or that I should say, the Gemara gives us an alternative, Rav Chanina Bar Popa, and that repeats itself in each one of these Maimros. Hence, that's reason for it's a list of Maimros, not just of Rav Popa, not just of Rabbi Zeira, but it's where the Gemara says regarding each one of these Maimros, it could be that it was stated by Rav Chanina Bar Popa. Hence, we have this series. So the first one is related to us. He says, Hilchisa Karebi Yehuda. So Rabbi Zeira, some say Rav Chanina, paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that when you have multiple mitzvahs, you make a separate bracha on each one of the mitzvahs and not rely on a general mitzvah bracha. The Omer Rabbi Zeira, Vitema Rav Chanina Bar Popa, my taimo de Rabbi Yehuda. What is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda saying for multiple mitzvahs, each one gets its own bracha? Dichtiv. The pasuk says Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. The literal translation is Blessed be Hashem each daytime. Do we bless the Almighty by day and not at night? Elo bo loimar loch. What the pasuk is telling us is something else. Bechol Yoim veYoim tein lo me'ein birchoisav. Each day, and here we have to be more precise. When we say each day, what do we mean by that? So Rashi says, second line from the bottom, Shel Shabbos me'ein shel Shabbos, Shel Chol me'ein shel Chol, Shel Yom Tov me'ein shel Yom Tov hama'oira. That means that each kind of day gets its own type of prayer. We have what we're familiar with, the Shabbos liturgy. The text of the Shabbos Shmona Esrei is unique to Shabbos. The weekday Shmona Esrei is unique to a weekday. And the Yom Tov Shmona Esrei, the Yom Tov prayer, recounts the holiday, the specific holiday that's being observed. So that is, each day gets its own specific bracha. So Hochanami, the Gemara continues, Hochanami b'chol dover v'dover tein lo me'ein b'rachos, which regarding each matter, each mitzvah, it gets its own bracha, and not a general form bracha. The Omar Rabbi Zera, v'itema Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, bo re'ei shelo k'midas kodesh boruch u'midas boser v'dom. Take note that the characteristics of the Almighty are not like those of a human being. Midas Boser V'dom Kli Reikon Machzik. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. On human terms, a vessel that is empty, it can be filled up. It has space in which to put, to add things. Mole, a full vessel, Eino Machzik, is incapable of holding new things. If you have a full cup of liquid and you pour more liquid, so whatever you're going to be, something's going to be spilling out, spilling over the sides. Aval Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with regard to the characteristics of the Almighty, the opposite is the case. Mole Machzik, Reikon Eino Machzik. If something is, if the Almighty's vessel is full, it can hold more. If the vessel is empty, it won't hold anything. So far, this is a bit vague. The Gemara explains it, gives you a pasuk for it, and then eventually, when we get to the Rashi, things will become much clearer. So the pasuk cited for this distinction between the full versus empty, V'hoyo, shenema v'hoyo im shomoa tishma. Im shomoa, if you have heard, if you have learned Torah, if you're used to learning Torah, then tishma, then you will be capable of learning more, of adding more and more. So if you are a vessel, you're a person, the person is the Almighty's vessel, so to speak. He made the person, and as such, the person who is filled with Torah will absorb more Torah. V'imlav lo tishma. However, if you haven't accustomed yourself to learning when you were young, so then it's going to be very difficult to be filled up when you are older. Dover acher, another approach. Im shomoa b'yoshan, if you take heed of that which you learned in the past and you review your Torah learning, then tishma b'chadosh, then you will understand the new topics even better. V'im yifne levavcha, if you turn away, shuv lo tishma, then you won't have success in your learning. We tried to translate the Gemara. Let us now look at the Rashi. Rashi on the second line, im shomoa tishma, this is the first approach. It says, im hurgalta, accustom yourself. Hurgalta, phonetically you can see the word hurgal, the word regular. You are a regular. Im hurgalta lishmoa, if you've accustomed yourself to learning, Torah oz tishma, tuchalul modul hosef, then you'll be able to learn more and more. Vim lav, shelo itesa oizen bialduscho lishmoa, you didn't pay attention in your youth when you had a chance to learn. Of course, there are many cases of people who in their youth didn't even have a chance, weren't aware. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people that when they were young and had the opportunity to learn, and they didn't pay attention, they didn't want to learn. So that's shelo hitesa, you didn't tilt your ear to learning. Lo tishma l'achar zman, later on lo yaspiku biyodcha, you won't have the ability, you won't accomplish that later. Dover acher imata shomea biyoshan, the second drosha was if you listened to the old, what does that mean? Mechazir al talmudcha sheshamata, you go over, you review that which you have already learned. Tishma b'chodosh, Rashi continues, tischakem boi lohavin dvarim chadoshim mitoch dvarim yishanim. by simply going over that which you've learned in the past, you will notice new points. It will reveal nuances that you hadn't realized earlier, and you'll reveal them only now. V'im yifne levavcha, however, if you turn away l'siyoyesh alma shelamadata kvar milachzor alav, if you say, I learned it already, there's no point in my going over it, shuv lo tishma, mishetifne libcha levatola, once you turn away for batola, batola is non-activity, non-Torah study, shuv ein mashmien oischa, then, if you turn away, you make a conscious decision to stop Torah learning, so you won't be granted the success later on. The pasuk itself indicates that if you turn away, so you will not hear. We continue in the Gemara. Miyad tinoikos. The Mishnah mentioned that on the seventh day of Sukkot, so people would grab the lula, the esrog, away from the children. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei mivneh heading. The triangle is featured. They represent deois ad mosai asur mishul muktzah. Until when does the muktzah prohibition apply? Lulav and Esrog, and two regarding the Sukkah. When we speak about Muktzah, it reminds you of the laws of Shabbos, but here, the sense of Muktzah means it was separated, Muktzah literally means it was set aside, it was designated for its mitzvah use. And when something is designated for mitzvah purposes, so you cannot use it for mundane, personal purposes. So in that context, we want to know the Isser of Muktzah that applies to Lulav and Esrog and Sukkah, till when does it apply? Needless to say that after the holiday is finished, completely finished, the Lulav and Esrog and the Sukkah no longer have any mitzvah value, they're not connected anymore to mitzvah, so they're certainly all right. But we're interested to know what's the first point in time that we can say they become mutter for your personal needs. As we look down the Gemara, you'll notice there are four triangles, and we have a little note, he'ora lamrois sheish, four triangles, even though we have four of these. Mikomokim yesh ra gimel deis binyana esrog. There are only going to be three basic opinions regarding the esrog when it becomes mutter. One opinion will tell you b'shmini mutter, on the eighth day of Sukkot it becomes mutter. The eighth day is referred to as Shmini Atzeres, and we don't have the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog on the Shmini Atzeres. A second opinion says Mutar Afiu B'Shvi, even on the seventh day of Sukkot, the Esrog becomes Mutar. It's after you take the Lulav and Esrog in the morning, you finish your mitzvah for the day, the rest of the day is not bound, or the Lulav is not bound anymore to the mitzvah the rest of the day. So it's mutter for you to use it on even the seventh day after you fulfilled your mitzvah. And a third opinion will say, Osir afilu b'shmini, that even on the eighth day, you cannot use the esrog for your personal needs. So now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, esrog b'shvi osir b'shmini mutter. The esrog on the seventh day is forbidden, on the eighth day it is allowed for personal needs. Sukkah afilu b'shmini asura. The sukkah, even on the eighth day, is also, you can't use the sukkah, the schach, for fuel. V'reish lakish amar esrog afilu b'shvi'i nami mutter. The esrog is mutter for your personal needs, even on the seventh day, once you have fulfilled the mitzvah. We have a long bracketed section. You can see the length of this by looking at your bracket length indicator, and on the side we have a note, Achreas sograyim ofia oideos binyan zman iser shel esrog. After the brackets, there will be more opinions regarding the prohibition time of the esrog. B'soichem ha-gemor mevareres b'may komifli reishokish, Reb Yochanan reishokish. Within the brackets, The Gemara will be focusing on what is the basis of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The dashed underlining that we've done is should be helpful, where you see Rabbi Yochanan holding that the Esrog becomes mutar on the 8th day, and Reish Lakish saying even on the 7th day. Now, in the brackets, you say you notice we have another marking. There's a diamond that appears. These are on the side. We have this recorded as Shelos Birur Beshitas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. These are questions in order to clarify their opinions. Now, as we said, after the brackets, you see Levi, who says Afilu Bishmini Osir, and we dashed underline that. You can contrast Levi, more extreme than Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Even the 8th day, Levi says the Esrog is Osir, and you see Avod Shmuel, also with a triangle, holding like Rabbi Yochanan before, that on the 8th day it's Mutar. The Gemara, where the brackets begins, B'mai Komiflagi, what is the basis of the Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? Just to repeat, Rabbi Yochanan says the Esrog is Osir on the 7th day, and Reish Lakish says it's Mutar on the 7th day. So what's the underlying point of Machlokes? More so far, the mitzvah is katzoi. Reish Lakish says that the Esrog was set aside, was designated for its mitzvah. So that means that on the 7th day, once you've done the mitzvah with it, that's it. It's no longer set aside. And therefore, you can use it for your personal needs. You can eat it. Or more so far, the kule yoima is katzoi. Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's set aside from, removed from personal use for the whole day. As we go on in the Gemara, you see there are Roman numerals 1 and 2. There are two versions of how the same question, or I should say the same source, is presented as a question on each one of the opinions. So if the first Roman numeral 1, you can see Reish Lakish asks on Rabbi Yochanan, and in Roman number 2, it's flipped around. Rabbi Yochanan asks on Reish Lakish. So let's see. Eisfei Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish, who is lenient, he allows the personal use of the Esrog after you've done the mitzvah on the 7th day. He asks on Rabbi Yochanan. It says in the Mishnah, Miyad Tinoikas, and this is on the 7th day of Sukkot, from the hands of the children, Shemtenes Luvehen, the Ochlen Esrogen. We take away their Lulovim, and we eat their Esrogim. My love, Hu Adin L'Gdolim. The Mishnah talks about taking the Esrogim of the children, of the minors, but it stands to reason the same thing with regard to adults. And that means I'm taking someone else's Esrog on the 7th day and eating it. So what does that show? It shows that it wasn't designated as muktzah, set aside, other than for the mitzvah. And after the gedolim fulfilled their mitzvah, it's up for grabs, quite literally, and you can eat it. Rabbi Yochanan will respond, Tinoikas Dafka, when the source teaches that they would take the esrogim from the children, it means specifically from the children and not from adults. Because children, they're not actually obligated in the mitzvah. Their entire connection is for educational purposes, but not for the basic mitzvah itself. Therefore, the children's esrogim are available. They're not muktzah mitzvasin. Masha'en kain, as opposed to the adults, you can't take it you can't eat it on the 7th day. It's also the whole day, like Rabbi Yochanan says. Okay, now the same thing, but in a reverse direction. Ika Diamri, another version, is Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan was strict. He did not allow it on the 7th day. He says, the Mishnah says, Miyati noikas shemten esulvehen ve'ochan esrogim. We take the esrogim from the children on the 7th day and eat it. Tinoikas in gedolim lo. We would take only from children, not from adults, because it's the adult's esrog is usher on the 7th day. So Rish Lakish answers, Hu hadin dafilu gedolim. The grabbing of the esrogim is not limited to the children, but you can take adults' esrogim as well on the seventh day. V'hai dekotoni tinok is that which it teaches children, urcha demilsa kotoni. That's the normal way. People will grab from children, they're not going to grab from another adult. Omar le Rav Popo la'abayi. L'Rabbi Yochanan, Maishno Sukkah, Maishno Esrog, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what is the basis of the distinction between his approach to Sukkah, where he says that the Sukkah is Osir, even on the eighth day, as opposed to the Esrog, which is Mutter, on the eighth day? Omar le. So Abaye answers, Sukkah, Dechazi Lebein Hashmoshes. Bein Hashmoshes is the period of dusk. It's between the end of one day and the beginning of the next day. We'll say it's the period after sundown, before three stars appears. That period of time in halacha is viewed as a suffix. It's not clear. Is it part of the last day or is it the beginning of the next day? Sukkah, let us say someone wants to eat a sandwich at Bein Hashmoshes. What is he going to do? He's going to go into the sukkah and eat his sandwich. Sukkah is chazio, means it's fit. It's fit for its mitzvah purposes at Bein Hashmoshes. The Isrami le sudasa boy mesiv begavol. If he chances upon a meal, means he needs to eat something, he will have to sit in it, in the sukkah, umecha begavol, and eat in it. Therefore, iskatsoi lebein hashmoshes. It is set aside for its mitzvah value, its mitzvah purpose at that time, at Bein Hashmoshes. And we have a famous rule, Umigu diskatsoi lebein hashmoshes. Since at Bein Hashmoshes it was set aside, it wasn't available, the sukkah wasn't available for personal use at Bein Hashmoshes. You have to use it for its mitzvah value. Iskatsoi lekuliyom edishmini. The Bein Hashmoshes then sets the tone for the entire next day. It is like, as we said, it's like the beginning, and it's because we had a suffix, so it's considered also, you have to take into consideration, it may very well be the beginning of the next, of the eighth day. So since that Bein Hashmoshes time is mitzvah bound, the rest of the day, the eighth day, is also prohibited, you are prohibited to use it for personal needs. Esrog dolo chazi lebein hashmoshes. The esrog, on the other hand, assuming that you fulfilled your mitzvah of esrog in the morning, so bein hashmoshes of the end of the seventh day, that bein hashmoshes period has no mitzvah relevance vis-a-vis the esrog that you already fulfilled in the morning. So the bein hashmoshes of the eighth day, leading into the eighth day, it's not fit. Since it's not set aside for mitzvah purposes at the Bein Hashmoshes leading into the eighth day, the muktzah element doesn't have any effect with regard to the rest of that eighth day. Hence, the difference between the sukkah and the esrog. If you want to restate it, it's basically look at each mitzvah in Bein Hashmoshes terms. As far as the sukkah is concerned, it has relevance during Bein Hashmoshes. As far as the esrog is concerned, for someone who already was yotzei the mitzvah, it has no relevance. And hence, the eighth day is not bound. V'levi omar esrog afilu b'shmini osir. Levi says that the esrog during the eighth day is osir. This needs to be explained. There is a a Rashi that will be noting right now by looking a few lines down from here. Esrog afilu b'shmini asura migu da siro bein hashmoshes d'shmini mishum de bein hashmoshes sofek yom hu. His approach is that the Bein Hashmoshes of leading into the eighth day is a suffix, whether it's part of the seventh day or it's the eighth day. On the side of things, on the side that it's of the seventh day, it wasn't allowed. We know that on the seventh day it was usur, the whole day. This opinion we saw already in Rabbi Yochanan earlier. So the whole seventh day was usur. They came into Bein Hashmoshes Asura, and since the Bein Hashmoshes period is forbidden, the Afal Gav de Lo Chazi the Bein Hashmoshes, even though it has no relevance mitzvah wise Bein Hashmoshes, but since it's part of the seventh day, and we saw the approach that said that things are set aside, are muktze, not just for the mitzvah but for the entire day, so that. That affects the Bein Hashmoshes, and that in turn affects the whole eighth day, Asur L'Kulei Yoma. We continue in the Gemara. V'yavua de Shmuel Omar, Esrog b'shvi Aser b'shmini muter. Avua de Shmuel focuses not on the fact that the seventh day is Aser, but he focuses, like Rabbi Yochanan said before, that the Bein Hashmoshes period doesn't have any mitzvah relevance, being that he already was Yotze earlier in the day. Kom Avua de Shmuel b'shitzei de Levi. Avua de Shmuel reversed his opinion to then go like Levi and aser the esrog on the eighth day. Kom Rabbi Zera b'shitzei de Avua de Shmuel. Rabbi Zera, he adopted Avua de Shmuel's approach, saying not Avua de Shmuel after his reversal, but the original Avua de Shmuel, that the esrog is mutter on the eighth day. The Amar Rabbi Zera esrog shenifsala aser le'oichla kol shiva. Rabbi Zera says that an esrog that became unfit is forbidden for personal consumption all 7 days. Yes, 7 days, but not the eighth day. As you can see, we have a bracketed section. In the brackets, there are two halachas, and you can see we have a volcano shape and a note on the side under the Mivneh heading, and we indicate that this is in the brackets. There's Shnei Meimer Shurbi Zera, Shamashuta Flahem, Inyan Yanuka. An issue, two halachas, or two observations of Zera that has as a common point the issue of children. After the brackets, you can see the Gemara says, "Ubeplukta de Rabbi Yochanan of Reish Lakish," and what that means is that the Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish finds a parallel in a Machlokis between Rav and Rav Asi, which we'll see later. That having been said, we go through the bracketed section. Omar Rabbi Zera, lo likni inish hoishano liyanuka biyomatova kamo, an adult who hasn't fulfilled his own mitzvah of lulav and esrog, should not give his he shouldn't give his lulav and esrog to a child. My time, why not? Why not give it to the child early in the morning before you have been yotze? And when we say give it to the child, we're giving it to the child for him to use for his mitzvah, for his child's mitzvah, the mitzvah of chinuch. But why not give it to the child? The anuka miknekoni, aknuye lo makni. A child has the ability, has the legal ability to acquire things. And that's a din de rabbanon, that a child can acquire. However, he doesn't have the ability to transfer ownership to someone else. So a child, in effect, is a one-way street. Now, what will happen then? If you give it to the child, it will become his. Vishtakach, and the result will be since the child can't transfer it back to you, the adult, and you, if you take it from the child, you're using a lulav that's not yours. Technically, it is the child's. And on the first day, it has to be yours in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Pasuk says, Ulekachtem lochem beyom rishon, and we've learned in the past, lochem means your own. Therefore, on the first day of Sukkot, if you're interested in having a child, be yotzei the mitzvah, make sure that you have fulfilled your mitzvah of lulav and esrog beforehand. The Omar Rabbi Zera, lo lema inish liyanuka, don't tell a child, the ivno lochmidi, that I'm going to give you something, velo yoyevle, and then you end up not giving it to him. So if you promise a child, I'm going to give you a little toy, and you then don't give it to him, that is not proper. Mishum da'osi lagmure shikra. You're training a child in how to lie. Shenemar, the pasuk indicates training in lying. Limdu l'shoinim daber sheker. There's a way, by your behavior, by things you say, and you say and you don't do, that teaches others how to lie. Ubiplukta de Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, and as we explained before, courtesy of Rashi, that which Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were arguing about, you will find Rav and Rav Asi arguing. Now, so what did Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue about? The question of the esrog on the seventh day of Sukkot. Is there any possibility of being allowed to eat the esrog on the seventh day of Sukkot? So Reish Lakish says, yes, once you fulfill the mitzvah, you can. It's no longer muktzah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though you fulfill the mitzvah, but the whole day is forbidden in personal use of that esrog, the whole seventh day. So their machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, finds a parallel in the following. The Itmar, Hifrish Shiva Isrogim L'Shiva Yomim. A person set aside a separate esrog for each day of Sukkot. Seven esrogim for the 7 days. Rav Omar, Kol Achas V'Achas Yoytze Bo V'Oichlo Li'Alter. Each esrog, you take it, fulfill your mitzvah, and as soon as you finish the mitzvah, eat it. You can eat it. V'Ravasi Omar, Kol Achas V'Achas Yoytze Bo V'Oichlo L'Mochor. Each esrog, once you fulfill the mitzvah, you can't eat it that day. You can eat it the next day. But my komifliki, what's the underlying point of controversy? Mor sovar le mitzvasa iskatsoi. That's the Rav's opinion. It was set aside for the mitzvah. Well, mor sovar le kuliyo miskatsoi. Rav Asi, who says you can't eat it that day, you can eat it only the next day. That's because each day is iskatsoi. It's the item, the esrog, is set aside and removed from personal use for the entire day. You'll notice that we have an arrow here on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, and that's exactly where we saw these two terms used by the two opinions, Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. At this point, the Gemara turns its attention to the fulfillment of the mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael. As many of you are well aware, in the land of Israel, we have what's called one day of Yontif, and in the outside, 2 days of Yontif. Of course, we're not talking about Chol HaMoed, but with regard to the beginning of the holiday and the end of the holiday, this is a phenomenon you find by Pesach and by Sukkot and Shavuos as well, but Shavuos doesn't have a formal Chol HaMoed to it, but you have this issue. In Eretz Yisrael, there is one day of Isser Melocha at the beginning and one day at the end. In outside of the land of Israel, it's 2 days at the beginning and 2 days at the end. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei heading, our topic heading, we've written, B'chutz Laretz, Shmini Sofek Shvi'i, Legabi Yeshiva Sukkah and Brocha. This Gemara will be focusing on the end of Sukkot, specifically Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day, formally speaking, is not it's not part of Sukkot. The Gemara will touch on the, we'll say, the point of connection and the point of difference, but technically speaking, it's a separate holiday. In Chutz Laretz, outside the land of Israel, where the concept of Sveika D'Yom applies, because of the distance from Eretz Yisrael, specifically Jerusalem, so people were not aware of when Rosh Chodesh took place until a number of days went by, until a number of weeks went by. So by the time the holiday begins, they think they have reached, let's say, the 15th of the month, Yud Tes Vav Tishrei, which is the beginning of Sukkot, but it's not clear. Maybe it's the next day. Maybe the 16th is really the 15th. So there's an element of doubt, and this is, of course, what we're describing now is what was the original situation before calendars were established. But nevertheless, even though we have calendars and we are certain, there's a concept known as Minhag Avosim B'Yodeihem. The original practice remains the custom today. So for our purposes, we're going to be speaking about people outside the land of Israel. When they get to the eighth day of Sukkot, maybe it's not the eighth day. It could be the seventh day. And the next day is the eighth day. So every Shmini Atzeres outside the land of Israel is, in effect, a Sofek Shvi. It might be the seventh day. Just like the first day, maybe it's not the first day. The first day might be really Erev Yontif, so it's the second day is the first day. As a possibility. So just like we're saying, the second day might really be the first day, the eighth day might be the seventh day. Well, if the eighth day is the seventh day, so then you're required to be in the sukkah. Do you make a bracha under those circumstances? Well, there's another rule that says safek brachas lahokeh. If you're in doubt, don't make a bracha. If you knew for sure, like is the case in the land of Israel, the eighth day is Shmini Atzeres. In fact, sitting in the sukkah on a day that you're not commanded to sit in the sukkah, namely when it's attached to the holiday of Sukkot, could give the impression that you're adding to the mitzvah. The mitzvah from the Torah standpoint is 7 days, not 8 days. And that gets involved with an Isser of Baal Tosef. You're not allowed to add to mitzvahs. You're not allowed to add to the length of mitzvah performance. So that in mind, we now turn to the Gemara. V'anan di'islon trei yomi. We in Chutz Laretz. When the Gemara speaks, remember, this is the Babylonian Talmud, so it's speaking from its own perspective. So we, outside of Israel, have 2 days of Yom Tov. 2 days of Yom Tov can refer to this as 2 days of Shmini Atzeres. Everyone who is out of the land of Israel knows that there's one day is celebrated as Shmini Atzeres, and the other day is celebrated as Simchas Torah. In the land of Israel, they're one and the same. But in the diaspora, outside the land of Israel, 2 days are observed. Hechi avdinon. How should we practice? How should we behave? Omer Abaye, Shmini Sofek Shvi Osir. On the eighth day of Sukkot, outside of Israel, that eighth day, in effect, is a possible seventh day. It might still be Sukkot. So, Osir. The sukkah, the esrog, lulav, they are usher. Chi'i, sufek shmini, mutter. However, the ninth day, which in Chutz Laretz, outside of Israel, is observed as Simchas Torah, maybe it's the eighth day. Okay, mutter, the esrog will be mutter because the esrog wasn't going to be usher in the first place on the eighth day. It's not sukkah anymore. Mremar Omar, Afilu Shmini Sofek Shvi Mutter. Mremar is more lenient and says on the eighth day, true, it's a possible seventh day, but it's going to be Mutter. You can use it for your personal needs. Besura Avdik Mremar, and Sura, which was a famous Torah Center in Bavel, so they followed Mareimar. Rav Shisha Breda Rav Idi Ovid Ke Abaye, and he practiced Abaye's more stringent method approach, where the eighth day, which is a Sofek seventh day, the Esrog would be Osir. The Hilchisa Ke Abaye, the Gemara rules in the more stringent fashion for people in Chutz Laretz, where the eighth day Sofek Shvi is prohibited. You can't use the Esrog for your personal needs. Omar Rav Yehuda Brei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Darav Shmini Sofek Shvi Shvi Lasukha Shmini Lebrocha Rav Yochanan Omar Shmini Loze Veloze. This is not clear, and we're going to wait for the Gemara itself to explain, but what we've seen, what we've said in the meantime is that Shmini in Chutz Laretz, which might be the seventh day, is considered the seventh day regarding the Sukkah, and is considered the eighth day regarding Bracha. Rabbi Yochanan says, even with regard to Sukkah, it's considered the eighth day. Now, what do we mean by that? So, we have some structural business to take care of. On the side, you will see we have a note. The Roman numerals 1 and 2 are Shnei L'shoinois Be'inyan Hanal. There are two versions regarding the aforementioned topic. And the diamond will highlight the expressions Kuli Alma and Ki Pligi. Kuli Alma means a point of agreement, and Ki Pligi a point of disagreement. The double underline highlights that we've written Havlotas Ha'emdos Be'inyan Mesev Yasvinon Ubruchi Mevorchinon. We'll be highlighting these two issues, sitting in the Sukkah and the issue of Bracha. Now the Gemara goes on. Mesav Kuli Alma Lo Pligi V'Yasvinon. As far as the eighth day in Chutz Laretz, everyone will agree that one is to sit in the Sukkah, meaning even Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the eighth day is Shmini Lozev Lozev, meaning it's an eighth day even with regard to the Sukkah, that's not so with regard to sitting in the Sukkah. Contrast this, by the way, with the Roman numeral number 2 that you see on Mem Zayin Omen Aleph. There, regarding Mesav, if you see the second diamond, Ki Pligi Le Mesav. Here we see regarding Mesav, the diamond, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi. That already highlights the differences in these two versions. So we continue for right now in our Gemara, the bottom line. As far as sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz, everyone agrees you must sit in the Sukkah. Ki Pligi, the machlokis that we just saw between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Livruchi. Livruchi, the making of the bracha, the reciting of the bracha of Leishev Basukkah. Lamando Marshvi Lasukkah, according to Rav, that says the eighth day is considered the seventh regarding Sukkah, he is telling you to make the bracha. I'm reading the top line of the Gemara, Lamandom Shvi Lasukkah, we're top line of Daf Mem Zayin. Lamandom Shvi Lasukkah, Bruchi Namim Vorchinon. According to the opinion of Rav, that it's considered Shvi, that the eighth day, Shmini Atzeres, is considered the seventh with regard to Sukkah, that it means even with regard to the bracha. You make a bracha of Asher Kishon Mitzvah Zene Leishe Basukkah. The Madam are Shmini Lozeh V'Lozeh, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the eighth day is considered Shmini lozeh lozeh for the sukkah and for the bracha, what he is telling you is do not make the bracha. It's shmini lozeh lozeh bruchi lo mevorchinon. You do not make the bracha. Now, here's a very technical question. What does it mean? What does Rabbi Yochanan mean? Shmini lozeh vilozeh. He said that you're going to have to, according to this version, you are going to be sitting in the sukkah on Shmini. So, with regard to the aspect of sitting, it's not Shmini, it's going to be viewed as Shvi. Okay, so it's Shmini, so that means it's Shmini. With regard to the bracha of Leisha Basukkah, you will not make the Leisha Basukkah as if it's the eighth day, which is not a day that you're chayav in sukkah. So, bracha-wise, it's the eighth day. What is the second vilozeh referring to? Lozeh vilozeh. So Rashi comes to the rescue. And we see this on the second line from the top. And Rashi says that with regard to the brachas, it's considered eighth day. What brachas? V'hainu lozeh lozeh. L'sukkah d'lo mevorchinan. You don't make a bracha on the sukkah. And l'bracha is es yoim shmini chag atzeres hazeh. In the prayers, in the davening, in your Birchas Hamazon, in the Aliyavo, you make reference only to the Shmini. So it's considered Shmini lozev lozeh. Shmini lesuka means you don't make the bracha of sukkah. Velozeh lebracha means you recite es yom Shmini chag laseres lozeh. We continue in the Gemara. Amar of Yosef. Nekoite Rabbi Yochanan biyodach. Take Rabbi Yochanan's practice. It means adopt his practice that says you don't make leishev basuka on Shmini Atzeres, even though you're sitting in the sukkah. Now, why does Rabbi Yosef say follow that approach? The Rav Huna bar Bizna v'chol gedolei hador. Rav Huna and all the leaders of that generation iklu basuka b'shmini safek shvi. They were in a sukkah on the 8th, on Shmini Atzeres, in Chutz Laretz, Shmini Atzeres, which is a suffix, maybe it's the 7th. Mesev Havuyasir, they sat in the sukkah. They ate their meal in the sukkah. Bruchi lo barichi. But they did not make the broch of Leishe Basukkah. That's like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara asks, how does this show Rabbi Yochanan's approach? I have another explanation. V'dilma svira lehu, kemadar markivan shabirech yom tov rishon shuveno mavarach. Maybe their lack of bracha was not because they held like Rabbi Yochanan, but they held that once the bracha was made on the first day of Sukkot, there is no need to make a bracha afterwards at all. The Gemara answers, Gemiri, Rav Yosef had a tradition. He had known from his teachers the Me'efer Osu. The story involving Rav Huna bar Bizna and the other Gedolei Dor, they had come from the fields. It's very interesting, but they had not observed, or they weren't obligated to be in a sukkah at all. That sukkah is up till the eighth day. Rashi says that their animals were grazing out in the wilds, and they had not sat in the sukkah the entire holiday. This is a fascinating revelation, if you will. Just imagine, here you have the leading rabbinic figures of that generation, and it seems from what Rashi's explaining that they were tending to their flocks throughout the holiday, and they were not in the sukkah from the beginning of Sukkot. This was their first sukkah sitting experience. So their lack of making a bracha is very, very much because they hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Iko di Amri, another version. Bruchi kuliyama lo pligi de lo mevorchinan. Means even Rabbi Huda, who said, Rabbi Huda, he quoted before, on the bottom of Mem Vav Omid Beis, Rabbi Yehuda quoted Rav, even he that says that it's considered Shvi'i L'sukkah, the eighth day is considered Shvi'i L'sukkah, that was the Lashon, that was the expression that he used on the bottom of Mem Vav Omid Beis, but even he will tell you don't make a bracha. You don't make leishev basuka when you're sitting on Shmini Atzeres. Ki pligi. The machlekes is lemesav. Do you even sit in the sukkah? Lemandom ar shvii lesukkah. According to Rav, who says that the eighth day is considered like the seventh with regard to the sukkah, so you have to sit in the sukkah. You sit there, but you're not going to make the bracha. Olamandom ar shmini lozev lozev. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the eighth day is considered the eighth regarding sukkah and bracha, mesav nami lo yasvinan. You aren't even going to sit in the sukkah altogether in Chutz Laretz on the eighth day of Sukkot. Omar Rav Yosef nekoit de Rav Yochanan biyodach. Rav Yosef says, take Rav Yochanan's approach. Demora deshmaitza money. Who is the author that quoted Rav before? Rav Yehuda Breid, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. It was he, Rav Yehuda Breid, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. And we have a little star, by the way. You can check that out by going back to Mem Vav Amud Beis. You see, he is the one that quoted Rav. And this individual, Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas himself, Ubishmini Sofek Shvi, on Shmini Atzeres, which is a Sofek, maybe it's the seventh day, Labar Misuka Yosef. He sat outside of the sukkah. He didn't even sit in the sukkah to begin with. In other words, he may have quoted Rav before, but he, on a practical, on a practicing level, he didn't practice what he quoted. He went rather like Rabbi Yochanan, according to this version, and didn't even sit in the sukkah. Because if Rabbi Yochanan's comment was that Shmini Sofek Shvi is Shmini Lozev Lozev. It's considered Shmini with regard to sitting in the sukkah, meaning no sukkah. It's Shmini Atzeres. And with regard to Brochus, it's you will recite Es Yom Shmini Chag Atzeres Lozev in your prayers. However, the Gemara's final psak, the Hilchasa, the Gemara rules like the first Lashon Mesiv Yasvinon Bruchi Lo Mevorchinon. Shmini Atzeres, as far as the Maskona of the Gemara is, you are to sit in the Sukkah, but you don't make the Brocha of Leishev Basukkah. The next piece of Gemara will deal with the issue of the Brocha of Shechiyona, which is called Zman. But Mirtz Hashem, this will be dealt with in our next Shiur. At this point, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.